Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life and schedule to join me this morning on my radio broadcast. Today is Monday, October 17th, 2022. It has been just 1 month since the brutal, devastating a death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, the Kurdish girl in Iran that was kidnapped, I would say, arrested by police, security police, morality police, whatever you want to call these monsters. She was detained, and then she ended up in a hospital, brain dead, in a coma. And the absolute conclusion that everyone comes to is that she was brutally beaten about the head simply because she wasn't wearing her hijab correctly. That has been a month. And what is going on in Iran is not protest. It is a revolution. The title of the newest book I will write about this subject is entitled Uprising, the Women's Revolution in Iran. And so much has happened in the last month. But what I want to focus on today briefly, because we're going to have a Bible study about fear. We're going to talk about just what's going on across the globe and in Iran. The regime has been targeting young girls, 16, 17 years of age, and especially schoolgirls that dare to disagree and to chant woman, life, and freedom. That is the motto, the mantra of this movement, woman, life, and freedom. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the targeting of innocent children, the killing, just the oppression and the brutal beating of these children. I want you to never forget this name, Helen Amadi. 7-year-old Helen Amadi was shot and killed on the spot by one of the Khomeinist regime snipers. Why? While she was chanting anti-regime slogans on her way home from school this past Wednesday, October 12th, 7-year-old Helen Amadi executed. And just a couple of days ago, there was a situation in Ardabil where we had schoolgirls that were injured, killed, and abducted. A schoolgirl identified as Azra Panahi was killed when plainclothes forces attacked the Shahed's High School in Ardabil on October 13th, just a few days ago. Several other girl students who the agents violently beat, they're now being treated at the Fatima Hospital. The number of abducted and missing schoolgirls has reached 19. The school's principal agreed to the authorities' attack and kidnapping in this school in Ardabil, which outraged the girls' families as they begin to find out about what was going on. When families arrived at the school and at Fatima Hospital to seek their children, they were threatened by these agents. Families, as well as the medical staff, have been threatened by authorities that if they speak publicly about this incident, they will no longer see their children. Noticeably, the Coordination Council of Teachers removed its news about the death of Azra Panahi. Azra Panahi suffered internal bleeding due to heavy blows she received during the attack on her school. The latest condition of the abducted students or those in the hospital at this time is unknown. The students had been forced to participate in pro-regime, pro-government rallies. The girls at this school called the Shahed School didn't want to do this. They began chanting woman, life, and freedom, and many of them refused. Thus the reason why the death of this young girl and the brutal beating of these other students. This is absolutely unthinkable, unacceptable, and cannot be tolerated. There must be an accountability for any government that would treat young children this way, would kidnap some of them, beat some of them, and then kill and target some of them. As I've been reporting to you in the last month, young girls, Hadas Najafi, Nika Shakarami, Serena Azmeral Zeta, all have been killed simply because they dared to peacefully disagree and protest the death of Mahsa Amini. Again, the violation, the crime was showing too much hair. And also, this past weekend, we had an incident at Evan Prison where all prisoners are held that dare to disagree and speak out against this government. There was a massive fire, and Sky News has this report.
Dramatic images, smoke pouring from a notoriously brutal prison there, fire and clashes between prisoners and staff breaking out overnight as the Islamic regime continues to battle massive anti-government protests. ABC's Lama Hassan is in London with the latest. Good morning, Lama.
Yeah, good morning to you, Eva. According to Iranian state media, the fire is now out, but those dramatic images flooding social media, you can see the prison engulfed in flames, and you can hear the gunshots and the sounds of people who had gathered outside the prison chanting death to the dictator. This morning, Iran's most notorious prison engulfed in smoke. This video posted by local activists show the exploding fire, billows of smoke and gunshots heard at Evan Prison in northern Tehran. Among the prisoners there, hundreds who were arrested over the past 4 weeks of protests against the Iranian regime. The facility also holding American prisoners detained in Iran, such as Iranian-American Siam Aknamazi, in prison now for nearly 7 years. The State Department saying in a statement, "We are following reports from Evan Prison with urgency. Iran is fully responsible for the safety of our wrongfully detained citizens, who should be released immediately." While Iranian state media is reporting the fire was ignited by what they call a group of thugs, the true cause remains unclear. Meanwhile, the escalating protests on the streets of Iran entering their fifth week. According to human rights activist news agency HRANA, 240 deaths now reported, including 32 children, in protests initially sparked by the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini, arrested for violating the Islamic Republic's strict dress code, later dying in police custody, and igniting massive protests against the regime and solidarity around the globe.
It stunned me what it awakened in Iran. It's awakened something that I don't think will be quieted in a long, long time.
At least four prisoners died due to smoke inhalation. Hundreds of people who had been demonstrating on the streets are locked up in Evan prison, so it's unclear if this fire is linked to the protests that have gripped the country that have been going on for more than a month now. Janae.
All right, Lama, thank you.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.
Thanks to Sky News for that special report. I want to bring to our attention just what has been going on in the last month. The nationwide protests, again, this is a revolution. Now, these are battle zones all over the cities of Iran, flares lighting up skies, gunfire ringing out, and bloody scenes recorded in video footage. I am recording this video about the situation in Sandjah, and that is what one reporter said. He's a demonstrator. His face is covered with a black scarf, dark glasses, and he gave this message to CNN from the Kurdish-majority city in western Iran. There's some dramatic images from the protests going on there. Last night, the security forces were firing in the direction of the houses. They were using military-grade bullets. Until now, I hadn't heard such bullets. People were really afraid. They're using also pellets and wounding people severely, some of them losing their eyesight. It's horrible. There's rooftop footage. There's clashes between young protesters, heavily armed security forces, bullets and flares crossing the night sky in a cloud of dust and smoke covering the city blocks. At that street level, other videos showing protesters throwing rocks at police, with the officers sometimes traveling in a procession of motorcycles and then shooting into the crowd. I've seen these such videos. Then you have large numbers of Iran's elite Revolutionary Guard. They've been participating in the crackdown, and then they are going out, and they're doing these bloody executions. According to the Oslo-based Kurdish rights group HEGNA, a 7-year-old boy died in his mother's arms on Sunday after security forces fired into a crowd of – you can't independently verify the exact death toll, 1,500 arrests, at least 244 killed, thousands injured. You can see a video of a driver in the city lying dead with a gunshot wound in his face. And all he was doing was honking his horn in solidarity with protesters. I actually have his picture on my Facebook page. And so you have these motorists honking horns, and they're being shot at in their car. So this is not a reform protest. This is a revolution. And this all began September 16th with Mahsa Amini, but really, in reality, this dates way back to 1979. And so this morning, what I want to do, I want to talk to you. If you're listening to this program, let's say you're an Iranian refugee living miles away from your homeland, utterly despaired and just broken over what you see. Let's say you're the person living in Iran and you happen to come across this broadcast and you are looking for hope, you're looking for truth, you're looking for relief from this oppression. What I want to share with us this morning is the truth and the truths from God's Word, the Bible. We're not talking about another religion. We're talking about a Bible, a love letter, a love relationship with God, having a relationship with Him. When you see the fear and the death and the destruction all around you, the Bible reaches out to us with hope. It gives us a foundation for how to put into perspective all that's happening. And for those of you that know the Lord, there are promises. I want to talk this morning about Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, where God says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You might be someone that has gone out in the protests and in the revolution. You've seen friends killed and murdered on the street. You've seen brutally beaten friends arrested. And you go back to your home and you're shaking your head in despair. You are courageously standing up for the right of women, but you are just overwhelmed with the fear and death all around you. Well, God's Word is a source of comfort for you. God invites you to know Him through Christ, but He reaches out to you this morning on this broadcast to help you with the fear and the oppression all around you. It's been said that the comforting words, "fear not," appear in the Bible 366 times. But no matter how many times these cheering words of encouragement appear, remember that they are spoken by the Creator of the universe to you. He is the one who tells his children not to fear, because he can still the raging storm and he can heal the brokenhearted. He is the one who tells you not to be anxious. He commands you not to fret about evildoers. He invites you to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you and promises to be with you forever, even to the very end of the age. Jesus is the one who says, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed, because he is our God, and that truth is all that you need. It's everything that you need. Do not fear, he pleads with us, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you. That's his words of encouragement. I am your God. Fear not. It's the very God of the universe who sent his son to be our redeemer, to buy us out of the slavery of sin, and to pay that price by dying on the cross. He tells us not to worry. You know, if Jesus could bear the punishment and the sin that was due us, and he can understand your pain because he's experienced it, then when he says, do not fear, those words should ring truthfully in your soul that you can trust him because he understands betrayal. He understands heartache. He understands oppression. He understands fear. He understands pain. We need to have faith and confidence in his precious promise. That's what God wants us to do. We are to trust his word. But he understands our fears and our frustrations. He knows that we're dust. The Lord, he is long-suffering, he is full of goodness, and he knows that doubts and discouragement are part of what's going on and around Iran with the fear, the violence, the death, and the oppression. Do not fear, he says, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. First, we are not to fear, for the Lord has promised to strengthen all that are his. And Jesus amplifies this truth when he tells the Apostle Paul, grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Secondly, in this beautiful promise from Isaiah 41:10, the Lord continues to say that he is an ever-present help in the time of need. Isaiah is a beautiful, beautiful book of promise. Isaiah 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. What did Jesus say before his ascension into heaven? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Jesus has sent his spirit to be our present helper and our comforter at all times and all places. And I will pray the Father, Jesus says, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, in this promise, he is reassurance, stretches out his arms of love still wider with the pledge to uphold you with his righteous right hand to prevent our steps from slipping by enfolding us up in his arms of righteousness and love. I am the Lord your God who upholds you by my right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. These are words of encouragement. They were spoken first in context to Israel through the prophet Isaiah. Fear not was the command that were given. Fear not, I am with you. And this is the wonderful assurance that Jesus gives to our church. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our ever-present help in time of need. And his grace is sufficient for us. Who is there to fear then? These comforting words, fear not, 366 times in the Bible. Don't fear anyone but God and his perfect righteousness. I am saying this to you to just persuade you to come and find your hope and your freedom in Jesus this morning. And I want to finish today with a song by Disciple. For those that are broken and discouraged and have no hope, this is words of comfort from the band Disciple. Let's listen. Song of hope. The words of God are life-transforming words. The words of Jesus are soul and heart-transforming words. He is there for you. He has stretched out his arms of love for you. I say this morning in context with all that's happening in Iran, because we can talk about human rights and freedom, and I am the first one to stand up and to be your voice, but there is something deeper that the Iranian people need than just freedom from tyranny and a government that has gone completely insane over the way they treat people. That is very important. But there is a freedom that all of us without Christ need, and that is freedom from the bondage and the destructive force of sin in our hearts and minds. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We have broken his commandments, and we need help. We need restoration. We need soul transformation. And this is the freedom that I'm praying that all of my Iranian friends will find hope in. Again, I want them to be free and to have democracy and freedom in their country. But the biggest freedom that is so important is the freedom we find in Jesus. That's why I call this program The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. That is my passion and that is my love. So this morning, I want to leave us with hope from God's Word, who says very clearly, we've been talking about it, do not fear. I have redeemed you from captivity. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. These are words of truth. These are just not pie-in-the-sky words of promise. These are life-transforming words of truth that millions of Iranians have trusted in, and that's why they meet secretly in house churches. They have to. But Iranians in this house church movement in Iran are very bold in going out on the streets and proclaiming the freedom and the salvation they have found in Christ. They haven't found it in Islam or any other world religion. They have found it in the person of Christ. And so this morning, what I'm saying to you, if you're listening and you're a refugee in another country, or you're someone in the focal point on the front lines in Iran, I want to persuade you, cry out to Jesus. Jesus is your friend. He will come and give you hope and freedom. He will cleanse you from all of the guilt and shame and sin. And he will come into your heart and he will give you a new hope, a new life, a new beginning. It's called being born again. And that is what I'm praying for my Iranian friends to find. Because once you have found that, there is nothing or no one that can take your life and destroy you. That's why God says, fear not, I am with you. He lives in you. And so this morning I am praying for you that you have courage to stand up to the government in the battle. I am standing with you. I am shoulder to shoulder with you, that you will find democracy and freedom very soon when God removes this cancerous government. I am praying for that to happen very soon. I want to thank you, my friends, for listening this morning. You are constantly in my thoughts and prayers, and I'm calling on all Christians to join me in praying for the revolution in Iran. I will see you all again on Thursday. Have a blessed week.